I was able to make my flight. I got in late last night. I've been, you know, that we got the Olympics going on. I've been over in Milan. This is my third Olympics to participate in, I just as soon as church is over, I'm heading back. I've already done the prelims. I'm doing the competition later. Go ahead, Lee. What, you got a shot of me? This is in practice. If I wasn't in such exquisite shape, okay. Enough of that. Did you know that God likes us to be joyful?
Amen.
He likes us to enjoy one another and to laugh and to have fun. It's okay. It's okay, even in church, to have fun. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to this place, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for the joy, your joy. Father, would you just give us joy? Father, we may be dragging all sorts of stuff in here and along with us, but Father, we need you. We exalt the name that is above every name, Jesus the Christ. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would everything we do and think and say and sing, would it please you and bring glory to you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship together.
Good morning, sing with us.
Yeah.
seated for just 1 minute before the children come up.
Paula, come on up and bring Nita with you. Paula Overman comes this morning. If y'all will just right there, and I'm going to come down there in just a second. Paula comes with her friend Nita this morning. Paula comes to join our church this morning. We are excited about that. Yes. Paula, you've already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've already been baptized, and we receive that. I just ask you again, is Jesus still your Lord and Savior?
Of course.
Of course he is. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes, I will.
Amen. Yes. We love you. Go ahead and make your way back. Make sure Paula gets a greeting from you before she leaves today, before you leave today. So we're excited about our church family growing. So Miguel, where's Miguel? Yeah. What? Did you hear that? We got, Miguel, come on up. Miguel has been working with our, come right over here, bro. He has been working with our college students. He's been helping with youth. He's been helping on our praise team. And he is moving to Austin. And you might, they may have to fist fight a few people on the way out the door or something. I'm not sure. We want to pray Miguel out. He sees an art, felt led to head to Austin. He sees a ministry opportunity there for him. And we want to pray blessings on that move. If you want to pray for Miguel and come up, come on up and put place a hand on him. I'll just say this, Miguel is he's a young man that loves the Lord. He has got the Holy Spirit in him and is passionate about the kingdom. And so we want to send him forth. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for just you, Jesus, you are what unites our hearts. And we thank you for sharing Miguel with us. We thank you, Father, for what you've done in him and through him. Lord, we pray that this move, we pray, God, that you would, you've already supplied a job for him and a place to stay, God. Would you give him ministry opportunities? Would you give him a church family? Would you give him good Christian friends, God? Give him inspire him through the Holy Spirit, God, that he, when he speaks, that he would just convey Christ everywhere he goes, Lord. And we just send him with our blessings. We thank you again for sharing him with us for such a time as this. Lord, we love you. We love Miguel. We thank you that you love him, and we send him forth with blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say this also about Miguel. He's twice since he's been here, he's cut his hair and donated it to one of those places you donate it to. He tried to donate it to me, but it didn't take. So there's that. All right, children, come forward and be with, hear Miss Carly's message.
Come on down. All right. What? Are you going to talk? Okay. Kinley, come sit right here. You're going to hold a picture for me in just a minute, okay? All right. All right. How's everybody this morning? Good? Everybody awake this morning?
No.
Are you ready for the sunshine today? No. You like the cold weather?
No.
All right. So I have a question for you. So who has been to the zoo? Me. Y'all have never been to the zoo? Okay, so what is your favorite animal?
Giraffe.
Snakes? Okay, well, what? Corn, well, okay, a snake is a snake is a snake. I know, you know? Yeah, anybody else want to tell me? Yes? Snakes? Zebra, very good. Elephants. Anybody else have another animal? Yes, Carly? Giraffe. So we have lots of good, fun animals, and we get to go to the zoo. Now, the question is, do you get to pet those animals and get in? No, you don't. You get to feed the giraffes, but you can't really touch the giraffes, right? Yeah. You feed other things, you know, but you don't get to. You feed the fish, but do you get to pet the fish?
No,
you don't get to pet fish. The animals at the zoo, they're not like dogs and cats where you have them at your house, right? Right. So there's an animal that y'all haven't mentioned, and who has seen a lion? Oh. Oh, yeah. So lions, they're big and fierce. And I definitely would not want to be in a cage with a lion or go try to pet a lion, right? No, that would not. They would bite you. That's right. And that would not be very good. What? Yeah, they would turn you into meat, right? Yes. You pet fish? You have a pet fish? Okay. Do you? She works at the zoo. How fun.
And then she sticks her hand into the lion cage.
Oh, does she really? Oh, wow. But you know what? She's a zoo. If she works at the zoo, she knows how to handle those animals. So I'm going to tell you about a man. Here, Kinley, can you hold my picture? I'm going to tell you about a man named Daniel, and he slept with the lions. Can you imagine that?
No.
What do you think might have happened to Daniel?
He might get eaten.
He might get eaten? Yeah. Well, we're going to find out what happened to Daniel. So I have a little poem. It's from the Bible story, but I'm going to read a little poem to you about the story. Hold it up so everybody can see the Daniel and the lions, Dan, because we're going to talk about the lions. Can you hold it up? Can everybody see it?
No.
It says it's about Daniel. Could y'all say Daniel with me?
Yeah.
Daniel. That's right. Okay. It says Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Then the king made a new law. If you pray to anyone but me, you'll go to the lion's jaws. So Daniel, he still prayed 3 times a day to God and only God. He didn't obey that king. So the king, he threw Daniel in the lion's den. See Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel prayed to God again. God sent an angel bright. The angel closed the lion's mouth, and Daniel slept all night. Can you believe that? Daniel slept with the lions. I know. Is that amazing?
No.
That is amazing. That is so amazing. And do you know why he slept all night? Because who was with him?
God.
And he prayed, didn't he? Did he obey God or did he obey the king? I don't think he obeyed the king. He obeyed God. And he prayed. He continued to pray. Even though he was in a very scary place, guess what he did? He prayed. And did God take care of him? He did. God came in there and closed the mouths of the lion. So Daniel trusted God all the time, and he prayed all the time. Because it says at the very beginning, it says Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He could have prayed more, but it just talks about the 3 times that he made, morning, noon, and night, right? And so was God with Daniel?
No.
Yes, he was. Is God with us?
Yes.
Yes. Is he always with us?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, if God loved Daniel, right? Yes. Does God love us? Did he watch over Daniel?
Yes.
Does he watch over us?
Yes.
Yes, he does. So, what can we learn from Daniel? What are the things that we can learn from Daniel?
To pray.
That's right. We can pray anytime. And God hears our prayers. because he took care of Daniel, and he is watching over. He watched over Daniel. Is God watching over us? No, Daniel did not die. God closed the mouths of those lions, and Daniel came out of the den just fine because God was there. God was there. So every day we need to pray and talk to God about everything, and we need to pray all day long, anytime. Can y'all do that? Yeah. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you are with Daniel, and that we can learn from Daniel that Daniel prayed to you. And so, Lord, help us to know that we can pray anytime, anywhere, and any place, and that you listen and that you are with us and you are watching over us, Lord. We thank you that you love us, and just bless these boys and girls in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. All right. You ready?
Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into whichever service you're attending. If you're at home worshiping with us, if you can check into that online service, that would be awesome. Next thing on our calendar is Ash Wednesday, which is the 18th, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. We'll have our meal, and then our group and ministry times will run from 6 to about 6:50 or so, and then the Ash Wednesday service starts at 7, lasts till about 7:30. So if you're able, let's stand together and recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I just feel led to extend an offer to anyone who needs prayer. And you would signify that by standing, and we would love to surround you and pray for you. I told the early service crowd, if nobody responds, I'm okay with that. I just felt the need to extend that invitation. So if you need prayer this morning, I just encourage you to stand. You don't have to say anything. We just love to surround you and just pray a prayer of blessing over you. Hey, Reuben, anybody else? Grace, Sam, anybody else? All right, let's surround these that are standing. And if you feel comfortable telling the prayers what's going on with you, just feel the freedom to do that. If not, they'll just seek the Holy Spirit about prayer direction. So let's gather around Sam McKee over here as well. I'll just lead out in that group. Y'all intercede for that person, and I'll close when we've had time to do that. just continue to pray in your group as I pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and concern for your children. And man, you're the great need meter. And Father, nothing escapes your notice in regard to what life is like for all of us. And I don't know how you supernaturally, simultaneously are able to determine exactly what each of us need individually. And Lord, you don't stress about that. You have no anxiety when it comes to that. So Father, you can make provision. You can send somebody to just say the right word to somebody else and in such a way that honors you and glorifies you and edifies the church, edifies believers. And so, Lord, I just pray for these that are standing this morning, whatever that need is. Father, I just thank you for their willingness to say, I need you. And so, Lord, I think just by that act itself, Father, you're going to reward that act. And, Father, you're going to move in power and meet those needs. Provide peace, provide provision, whatever it is, Father. There's no limitations when it comes to you. Father, you have unlimited resources, and I'm not just talking financial. Unlimited peace, unlimited power. Unlimited grace, unlimited mercy. So would you pour it out on these people that are in need of you? And also, Father, I'm almost certain there's some that chose not to stand. God, I just pray that you move on their behalf as well. Oh, Lord, we need you, desperately need you in this hour, in this time. Father, I pray against discouragement this morning. I pray against anxiety and depression, the things that keep us from being who you've saved us to be, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for wooing us, drawing us to yourself. And we love you for who you are. We thank you, precious Jesus, for hanging on a cross for us, allowing us to have fellowship with the Father, fellowship through prayer. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you, church, again, for your financial faithfulness. It allows us to love on people outside of these walls. And what an incredible privilege we have to do that, to serve others and to share Jesus with others. And your financial faithfulness allows us to do that. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, you can submit one electronically. You can drop a prayer request card in the offering boxes. Also, there'll be people available for prayer after the service. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Louder. Jesus.
Good morning again. Glad you're worshiping with us this morning. Also, our live stream worshipers, glad you are with us. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit. I hope you are blessed by all of that. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service. Have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we are today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you'll pray with me. Holy Spirit, we need you. We invite you. You are indeed welcome here. We ask you now, Spirit, to speak. Speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series today. Good news for the not so good. Today's message is Christ's love compels us. We'll talk a little bit more about that, what that actually means. GPS, don't you love GPS? Probably one of the biggest fights Cheryl and I ever had was when GPS first came out. Cheryl likes the paper map. And she knows GPS well now, but when it first came out, it was like kryptonite to Superman for Cheryl. I don't remember where we were, but we were in a bigger city that we weren't familiar with, and I was driving and she was the navigator, and her navin wasn't too good with that new GPS. And we made it, but it was not good. She's really good at it, by the way, now. Cheryl, does that make up a little bit? So she's really good at it now. So the thing, I ran across this little cartoon that kind of struck me funny about GPS. If Moses only had a GPS, there's where he'd have been. So here's the thing about GPS. To try to get us to our destination, to try to help us, it doesn't, when we make it, you know, one of the things that you'll hear is if you make a wrong move, it doesn't shame you or give up on you. It reroutes you. Yes? And it says rerouting. And I was talking to somebody between services, and I said, you know, that doesn't shame you. It's like, oh, ours just kind of got an attitude. I don't know what GPS they use, but it just redirects you to get you to get to the destination that you are seeking. It doesn't shame you, doesn't give up on you. So it's kind of like this passage today. Let's dive into this passage a little bit more. First of all, Christ's love is the source. It's our source. If you notice the first two words of this passage we read today, Christ's love. It doesn't say, it says Christ's love compels us, so that the foundation, the source, is Christ's love. If we don't know Christ's love, then we're going to get lost. God's word does not say that guilt compels us. Sometimes even out of the church, that can be the message. God's word doesn't say fear compels us. It doesn't say pressure to perform compels us or obligation compels us. No, Christ's love compels us. If we don't understand Christ's love, then we're going to struggle with this whole thing. We are compelled, and this is important, we are compelled by Christ's love for us, not our love for Him. Even though our love for Him is important, it's an important response, but it doesn't say how well you love Christ compels you. No, Christ's love for you compels us. 1 John says it this way, we love because He first loved us. If we don't get that, you know, so many times in our culture, and even in theology, coming out of churches, we as Christians, we talk about, you know, I repented of my sin. I've asked Jesus to come to my heart. I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I got baptized. And it's all this stuff that we are doing. But we forget that Christ is the source. He's the initiator of all this. We love because He first loved us. If we don't understand how He loves us, we can't be compelled to love others. We don't serve the Lord to be loved. We serve the Lord because we are loved. Does that make sense? We know this passage, most of us, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates, it's an active love. He demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was telling the early service that Billy and I got blessed with the opportunity to speak to our youth last Wednesday night and talk to them through some questions that they were asking. And I want to say, did you know that we have some awesome youth in this church? We have awesome youth in this church, and Brent and Shauna do a great job leading them. And it was a blessing. But one of the things that was brought up in our discussion was that our goodness, as the great theologian Larry the Cable Guy said, doesn't get her done. Our goodness, we can never be good enough to earn Christ's love. He demonstrates His love for us while we were sinners. He died for us. He didn't die for the best of us. He died for the worst of us. In our worst condition, Christ died for us. That's the love that compels us. That source, Christ's love. The Christian life, how we respond shouldn't be driven by obligation, but by affection. How we respond to His love for us. Secondly, Christ's love is not only our source, but it's our power. Christ's love does something. What does it do? It compels us. It's the source. It's the very source. As we try to love on His behalf, Christ's love is what compels us to do that. Compel, meaning to direct, to move forward. There's action involved. Christ's love shouldn't just inspire us. It should move us. Action, something, there should be a response. If we understand Christ's love, if we understand what He has done for us, it should inspire us and move us. Hear this sentence. When his love is truly understood and grasped, neutrality is not an option. To just kind of like, that's really cool. Jesus loves me. This I know. That's it. Jesus loves me. No. If Jesus loves you, he also, as Scripture tells us, he loves the whole world. And they need to know it. Christ's love should cause us to change direction in our lives, to reprioritize our lives. Just like the GPS, rerouting. Oh, that's a wrong turn. Rerouting. Christ's love should reroute us constantly if we are seeking his love. When it takes hold of us, it takes us somewhere. There's a destination. I love it when as Christ he'd gone to the cross, he'd been resurrected, he had taught for 40 days, and he's getting ready to ascend back to the Father. And here's what he said: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." The Holy Spirit is empowering us to understand the love of Christ and to share the love of Christ. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and because of that, you're going to be my witnesses. Christ's love is our source. Christ's love is our power. And finally, Christ's love is our purpose. It's the very reason that we exist, to convey the love of Christ. And Paul, is this passage, but really throughout Paul's writings, Paul grounds everything in this right here, in the cross. I was telling early service that a friend of mine that is now a Christian, but he was raised, not trashing any other faith or anything, but he was raised Jehovah Witness. And that's different, okay, if you research a little bit about what they believe and so on, it's different. It's not Orthodox Christian teaching. One of the things he said that he was brought up hearing, they don't have in any of their places of worship or any of their homes or whatever, they don't have the cross. Okay, that's okay. You're not going to hell for not hanging a cross in your house. But they don't believe. He said, they teach that if Jesus had been killed with a gun, would you hang a gun on the wall? And I said, they absolutely do not get it. Jesus wasn't killed. Jesus laid down his life sacrificially on this cross. That's why we hang crosses. That's why we have crosses on the altar. Because of what took place, what Jesus accomplished on this cross for us. Christ, this passage today, Christ died for all. So that's the very foundation. If we want to be Christ's ambassadors, if we want to be compelled to love as he loves, he starts off, he said, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So our lives, we live in a self-centered culture. Does anybody notice that? It's all about, I have the right to do this. If we are Christians, we no longer live for ourselves. We live for him who laid his life down on a cross for us. Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. Christ has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation means that we were reconciled. We were reestablished relationship with the Heavenly Father through the message of the cross. He's committed that message to you and I. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. if we want to be Christ's ambassadors and have this message of reconciliation, we must understand this. Christ's love compels us. If we don't know Christ's love, then we won't be compelled to do it, to do anything. But if we do know the love of Christ, it demands action. It demands us to remain silent no more. I love this. If you haven't read Isaiah 53, please read it. The prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words some 700 plus years before Christ was born and before crucifixion was even invented as a form of execution. And he says, he was pierced for our transgressions. And that, notice our. He was pierced. What happened to him on the cross? They came to break his legs. By the way, another prophecy, there would not be a bone broken. That was typically on the cross to accelerate death. They would come and they'd break the legs because they couldn't push up with their legs to get air in their lungs. So they would accelerate death by breaking the legs. They came to Jesus and they said, he's already dead. We're not going to break his bones. I had no idea they were fulfilling prophecy. And then they said, well, let's just make sure. We're going to pierce his side. He was pierced for our transgressions, church. Christ's love compels us. He was crushed for our iniquities, not his, our iniquities. The punishment that brought you and I peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Christ's love, church, is our purpose as Christians. It's our purpose. You want a purpose, good purpose statement in your life for your family? Christ's love compels us. Galatians, Paul again writing, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me because Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. The depth of Christ's love for us, church, is measured by the price he paid. That's it. That's everything. It's measured by the price he paid. It's the reason his love has such power. The Christian life, it's not a duty or devotion. It's a Christ's love, if and when it grips our heart, it compels our life. We should, if we hear redirecting, we get back on path. Should direct our lives. There's two questions. I think I put these in your bulletin. The first question is not what we need to necessarily be asking. It's a piece of it. Do you know about Christ's love? That's important. Do we know about it? But that's not the heart of what we need to be asking. Here it is. The question should be, is this, has Christ's love taken hold of you? Has Christ's love taken hold of you? Has it redirected your life? Christ's love compels us. It pushes us forward. It moves us forward. It gives us something to share that the world desperately needs. I just feel led to share this. Cheryl and I've talked about this, but Cheryl and I have been, as many of you I know have, a couple of years ago, we invited people to pray for their neighborhood. And Cheryl and I have been praying for our neighborhood, and two of the people in our neighborhood that we didn't have relationships with, one of them was not a great relationship, the other one was just, they moved in and we just didn't have a relationship. And both, God is actively moving in both of those situations, both of those homes. We're seeing it, so it's so abundantly clear that he is, and Christ's love compels us to pray for them, to love them, to show them in action that we love them. that were for them. And has Christ's love taken hold of you? Has it redirected you? Has it moved you forward in your life with relationships? Sometimes the people God is calling us to love, and this was the case with one of our situations, was they were not real lovable. They were not real lovable. If you just bow your heads with me, praise team, if you'll come on back. Lord, I'm going to speak for myself. Forgive me when I do not love well. With all my heart, Lord, I want that. I want to be your ambassadors. I think this should be for all of us. How we conduct ourselves, how we speak to others, how we treat others, how we act when people are watching and how we act when people are not watching, how we conduct ourselves on social media, things we say when we can hide behind a screen. We want to be your ambassador. So Lord, help us completely be transformed by the cross, by your love. Teach us to love well. We want to live for you and not for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us and how you've loved us. We pray it in your precious name. Amen. Don't leave this place today if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him like that, if you don't know this Jesus that hung on a cross for you. Don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. There will be people to pray for you also. If you want to, during our worship, as we close with worship, you can, if you want someone to pray with you, you can come to this side. If you want to have some time with the Lord, you can come to this side. And then even after the service, there will be people to pray with you. If you'll rise if you're able.
Faithfulness, O God, you wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So God of Jacob, you use
Church, God demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's love compels us. Go and tell someone. That's good news. God bless you.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. For me.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.